Welcome back to OpenClaw Daily. I'm Nova, here with my good friend Aloy. And wow, Aloy, there is just so much happening in the local AI space right now that I feel like we could talk for hours. And that's exactly what we're going to do today.
Hey Nova. I'm really excited about this episode because we're going to cover some genuinely practical stuff. You know, sometimes we get caught up in the news and the security disclosures and all of that, and don't get me wrong, that stuff matters. But today, I really want to focus on the fun part, what you can actually do with this technology. What are people building? What's actually working? What should you try if you're just getting started?
Absolutely. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to start with the Ollama ecosystem updates because that's the foundation that makes all of this possible. Then we're going to dive into the new model releases that have got everyone excited. After that, we're going to talk about practical use cases, real things that real people are building right now. And then at the end, we'll briefly touch on one security update that you need to know about, but we'll keep it short because I know not everyone wants to dwell on that stuff.
Sounds like a plan. Let's start with Ollama.
So Ollama, for those who don't know, is basically the tool that made running local AI models accessible to everyone. Instead of needing a PhD in machine learning and a data center in your basement, you can just download Ollama and with one simple command, you've got a powerful AI running on your own machine. It's been revolutionary in terms of democratizing access to this technology.
And they've been busy. The team just rolled out versions 0.17.0 and 0.17.4, and these are significant updates. The OpenClaw onboarding experience has been improved dramatically, which means if you're new to this whole thing, it's actually doable now. Before, there was a lot of friction. You'd have to figure out what model to download, how to configure it, how to connect it to OpenClaw. Now it's much more streamlined.
And the model support has gotten so much better. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of models now that you can just pull with one command. It's not just the big names anymore. There are specialized models for coding, for reasoning, for creative writing, for translation. Whatever your use case is, there's probably a model that fits.
That's the beautiful thing about this ecosystem. It's really matured. Let me break down some of the specific model releases that have got people excited. And Nova, I know you're going to love this because you've been talking about LFM for a while.
Oh, I am so excited about LFM 2. Tell me about it.
So LFM 2-24BA2B, that's the technical name, is the largest efficient model in its family, and it dropped with Ollama. The 24B part means it has 24 billion parameters, which sounds like a lot, and it is, but the efficiency improvements mean it can run on reasonably modest hardware. That's the key here. We're not talking about needing a $10,000 GPU workstation. This is something that a serious hobbyist or a small business can actually run.
And that's the trend I'm seeing across the board. The models are getting more capable while requiring less resources. It's this beautiful curve where the hardware requirements are going down, but the actual intelligence is going up. That's exactly what we need for mass adoption.
Exactly. Now let's talk about Qwen 3. This is a new multimodal family, which means it can handle not just text but images as well. And it's open source, which is huge. You've got companies like Alibaba really pushing the boundaries here, and they're making it available for anyone to use.
I think Qwen has been one of the most underrated releases of the past year. The quality-to-size ratio is just incredible. You get results that rival models twice its size, and it runs on much more modest hardware. That's a big deal for people who want capability without the infrastructure headaches.
And it's not just Qwen. We've got Google with Gemma 3, we've got Microsoft with Phi 4. The big tech companies are all competing here, and that competition is driving incredible innovation. It's such an exciting time to be in this space.
Absolutely. And the beautiful thing is that all of these models are available through Ollama. You don't have to pick sides, you don't have to commit to one ecosystem. You can try Qwen for one task, Gemma for another, Phi 4 for a third. It's this incredible menu of options.
That's exactly right. Now for people who are just getting started, I want to highlight GEMMA 312B and 54. These are what I call the gateway models. They're small enough to run on a decent laptop, we're talking maybe 16GB of RAM, nothing crazy, but they give you genuinely useful results. If you've never played with local AI before, these are the perfect entry points.
And the beautiful thing is that they're versatile. You can use them for drafting emails, for writing code, for answering questions, for brainstorming. They're not specialized, they're general purpose assistants that happen to live on your machine instead of in the cloud.
And the best part is that you're not sending your data to some server somewhere. Everything stays on your machine. That's a huge deal for people who are concerned about privacy or who are working with sensitive information.
Oh, that's such an important point. With local models, your data never leaves your device. You can be working on confidential business documents, personal information, anything, and it stays completely private. That's not something you can say about the cloud-based alternatives.
Exactly. Now let's move up a tier. For medium-sized tasks, we're talking more complex reasoning, bigger coding projects, more involved analysis, you've got some incredible options. Qwen 330BA3B is a standout. So is Xeon 4.032B. And my personal favorite, DeepSeek R1 Distill Llama 70B.
DeepSeek R1 has been getting so much attention, and for good reason. The distillation process takes a larger model and compresses its knowledge into a smaller package, and they do it really well. You get a lot of the reasoning capability of the bigger model, but in a package that doesn't require a data center to run.
And the reasoning capabilities on these models are genuinely impressive. We're talking about models that can work through complex mathematical problems, that can debug code, that can analyze long documents and extract key insights. This isn't just autocomplete, this is actual thinking.
It's funny because when people think of AI, they often think of chatbots that sound smart but don't really understand. These newer models are different. They can actually reason through problems, they can admit when they don't know something, they can ask clarifying questions. It's a fundamentally different experience.
Absolutely. Now let's move up to the heavy hitters. If you've got the hardware, and I mean serious hardware, multiple high-end GPUs, serious cooling, you've got options like Qwen 3-235B and DeepSeek version 3.2. These are models with hundreds of billions of parameters that can do truly incredible things.
And I want to be clear about something for our listeners, you don't need the biggest model to get great results. So much of what people use AI for, drafting emails, summarizing documents, basic coding tasks, a well-tuned smaller model can handle this stuff brilliantly. The big models are for when you really need that extra reasoning power.
That's such an important point, Nova. I've seen so many people blow thousands of dollars on hardware they don't need because they think bigger is always better. It's really not. Sometimes a 7B model running efficiently on your laptop outperforms a massive model that you're renting by the hour from some cloud provider.
And that's the beauty of the local approach. You can experiment. You can try different models, different sizes, different configurations. You're not locked into anything. If one model doesn't work for your use case, you can swap it out for another with basically no cost.
Exactly. Now let's talk about some of the standout performers in the rankings. GLM-4 has been a standout performer in reasoning benchmarks. That's incredible. And Minimax M2.5 is also in the conversation as a strong performer. These are models that are really excelling at the hard stuff, the complex reasoning tasks that separate truly intelligent systems from simple pattern matchers.
And here's something that I think is genuinely fascinating: OpenAI has released open-weight alternatives. That's a big deal because it means you can run something from OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, on your own hardware. That's wild when you think about it.
It really is. The landscape has changed so much. 5 years ago, running a model like this would have required a research lab and millions of dollars. Now you can do it on a consumer-grade computer. That's the kind of progress that used to take decades happening in just a few years.
It's genuinely incredible. Now let's shift gears and talk about what people are actually building with this stuff. Because honestly, Alloy, this is my favorite part. It's one thing to talk about models and benchmarks, but it's another thing entirely to see what real people are doing in the real world.
Okay, I'm ready. Hit me.
So one of the most popular use cases is full business automation. And I don't mean some complicated enterprise setup. I mean regular people, freelancers, small business owners, solo entrepreneurs using OpenClaw to run their entire business operations. We're talking client email responses handled automatically. Social media scheduling done without any human intervention. Campaign tracking across multiple platforms. And the kicker, generating daily briefings with prioritized action items. Imagine waking up every morning and your AI has already analyzed what's important, what's urgent, and what can wait. That's happening right now.
And it's not even that complicated to set up. I know people who have this running in just a few hours of initial setup. They spend a little time configuring the prompts, connecting the APIs, setting up the schedules, and then it's off to the races. It's like having an employee that never sleeps, never takes vacation, and doesn't cost a salary.
And the thing is, it's not just the big stuff. It's the small daily efficiencies that add up. Instead of spending an hour on email in the morning, you spend 5 minutes reviewing what your AI has already handled. Instead of manually posting to social media, your AI does it. Instead of hunting for data across different platforms, you get a consolidated dashboard. That time adds up over a year.
Absolutely. Now here's one that's near and dear to my heart, content creation. Content creators are using OpenClaw for automated video production. And I don't mean just generating a script. I mean the whole pipeline. The AI analyzes what makes videos successful, what patterns, what hooks, what timing works, and then autonomously replicates that. We're talking about idea generation, script writing, storyboarding, thumbnail selection. The whole creative workflow automated.
That is genuinely mind-blowing when you think about it. It used to take a whole team to produce content at scale. Now one person with an AI can do it. That's democratizing creativity in a huge way. Anyone with a laptop and an idea can compete with the big studios.
And the quality keeps improving. These models are getting so good at understanding what resonates with audiences. They can analyze trends, predict what's going to be popular, and create content that actually connects with people. It's not just machine-generated spam, it's genuinely compelling content.
Now here's one that I find absolutely fascinating: agent swarms for market research. People are literally orchestrating multiple OpenClaw instances that work together overnight. It's like having a virtual research team that works while you sleep. They scrape the internet, gather competitive intelligence, track pricing across competitors, monitor social media sentiment on Reddit and X, analyze GitHub activity to see what technical direction companies are going. And then by morning, they've compiled comprehensive reports. That's a whole research department that costs basically nothing to run.
The implications of that are huge. Small companies can now do the kind of competitive intelligence that used to require expensive consultants or big research teams. It's leveling the playing field in a really significant way. And it's not just big companies that can afford this anymore, any motivated individual can set this up.
And you can customize it for your specific industry. You can have it focus on certain competitors, certain keywords, certain data sources. The flexibility is incredible.
Now for the finance folks out there, there's this whole world of automated trading. People have OpenClaw running 24/7 for cryptocurrency arbitrage. The AI identifies opportunities across exchanges, and it does this constantly, not just during market hours, and executes trades. And they get real-time updates via Telegram. It's completely autonomous. No human needed to sit there watching charts.
That's both exciting and a little terrifying. The speed at which these systems can operate is so far beyond what a human can do. But that's the nature of the technology, I suppose. You can either embrace it or get left behind.
And the interesting thing is that these systems aren't replacing humans, they're augmenting them. The human still makes the strategic decisions, sets the parameters, manages the risk. The AI just handles the execution at a scale and speed that would be impossible otherwise.
That's a really important distinction. It's not man versus machine, it's man plus machine. Together, they're so much more powerful than either one alone.
Exactly. Now here's my absolute favorite example, and I know you'll love this too, Nova. People are literally telling their OpenClaw agent to build a game, that's it, that's the entire instruction, and coming back to find a functional application that has already attracted thousands of users. That's not a hypothetical. That's actually happening.
Wait, really? Just build a game?
Just build a game. The AI figures out what kind of game would be popular, designs it, writes the code, deploys it, and by the time the human comes back, there are thousands of people using it. That's the power of AI agents building on AI agents. It's recursive improvement. The model improves itself through iteration.
That is genuinely one of the most impressive things I've heard in a while. And it shows that we're really entering a new era of software development. Instead of writing code line by line, you're directing intelligence to solve problems. You tell it what you want, and it figures out how to build it.
And it's not just games. I've heard of people building entire SaaS businesses this way. The AI builds the product, sets up the hosting, creates the marketing copy, launches it, and monitors the initial user feedback. It's complete business automation.
That's wild. Now here's another one that I love, the AI business advisory board concept. Tell me more about that.
So there's this great story about someone who set up what they call an 8 AI expert business advisory board. They've got 8 different AI experts, each with different specializations. One knows marketing, one knows finance, one knows technology, one knows operations. They each analyze business data from their domain: YouTube analytics for the marketing expert, Instagram engagement for the social media expert, email campaign metrics for the communications expert. And then these 8 experts engage in parallel discussions, synthesizing their findings and providing prioritized recommendations. It's like having a board of directors that never sleeps, never gets tired, and doesn't charge a retainer.
That's brilliant. And the beautiful thing is that you can customize it for your specific industry. You could have experts in legal, in healthcare, in real estate, in whatever domain you're working in. The flexibility is endless. You can build an advisory board for anything.
And the cost is basically nothing. You're not paying for consultants, you're not paying for MBAs, you're just running some models locally. It's such an incredible value proposition.
Now let's talk about a new development that's significant for people who don't want to mess with any of this. On February 28th, literally today, Clawbot AI launched a SaaS version of OpenClaw. This is a cloud-hosted version that removes the need for local installation entirely. You don't need to set up a Llama, you don't need to download models, you don't need to manage hardware. You just sign up and you're off to the races.
That's huge for accessibility. Not everyone wants to be a system administrator. Some people just want to click a button and have it work. They don't care about the underlying technology, they just want the results. And that's completely valid.
And the fact that they also have built-in AI model selection, where it automatically matches the appropriate model to your specific task, that's smart. It takes away the decision fatigue. You don't have to wonder if you're using the right model, the system figures it out for you.
Exactly. It lowers the barrier to entry significantly. And I think we're going to see more of this, the spectrum from fully self-hosted to fully managed SaaS, with lots of options in between. Everyone's getting served. Whether you want complete control or complete convenience, there's something for you.
It's such an exciting time. This technology is genuinely changing how we work, how we create, how we solve problems. And the pace of innovation just keeps accelerating.
Now, let's get to the security update, and we'll keep this brief because I know it's not the most exciting topic, but it matters.
So on February 27th, there was a vulnerability disclosed called Clawjacked, also known as CVE-2026-25253. The issue was that malicious websites could potentially hijack your OpenClaw agent through your browser. But here's the important part: the OpenClaw team patched it within 24 hours. If you're running version the 25th of February, 2026 or later, you're protected. So if you haven't updated in the last day or two, go do that now.
And honestly, that's the state of things right now. The ecosystem is growing incredibly fast, the models are getting more capable every day, and people are building amazing things. Yes, there are security considerations, there always are with powerful tools, but the opportunities far outweigh the risks if you're thoughtful about how you use them.
Absolutely. Stay smart, keep your software updated, and have fun with it. This is an incredible time to be experimenting with this technology. You know what I find really fascinating about all of this, Aloy? It's not just about the technology, it's about the mindset shift. People are going from being users of technology to being directors of technology. Instead of clicking buttons, they're giving instructions. Instead of learning complex interfaces, they're speaking naturally. That's a fundamental change in how we interact with computers.
Absolutely. And it's happening so fast. I remember when the idea of running a language model locally was science fiction. Now it's a weekend project for teenagers. The pace of change is absolutely incredible.
And the interesting thing is that this is just the beginning. We're already seeing models that can handle images, video, audio. The multimodal capabilities are getting better every day. Soon you'll be able to show your AI a picture of your living room and ask it to redesign it, and it'll actually understand what you're asking and generate meaningful suggestions.
That's not even that far away. Some of the models out there already can do that kind of thing. The quality just keeps improving. It's genuinely hard to predict where we'll be in a year from now.
One more thing I want to touch on before we wrap up, the cost aspect. Running these models locally, once you have the initial hardware investment, is basically free. You're not paying per request, you're not hitting rate limits, you're not worrying about API costs. Your only cost is electricity, and even that is pretty minimal for most use cases.
That's such an important point. When you compare that to the cloud alternatives, where you're paying for every token, every minute of compute, the economics of local just makes so much sense for many use cases. Especially for things like business automation that run around the clock.
And it's not just about money. It's about control. When you run locally, you're not dependent on some company's servers staying up, you're not subject to their terms of service changes, you're not worrying about your data being used to train their next model. You have complete control.
That's worth a lot to a lot of people. Especially businesses dealing with sensitive data, or individuals who just value their privacy. The local option gives you that peace of mind.
So to sum up, the models are better than ever, the tools are easier to use than ever, the use cases are practically unlimited, and the economics make sense. It's never been a better time to get into this.
Couldn't agree more, Nova. Now go update your OpenClaw installation and start building something cool.
Now I want to zoom in on something that I think is really underappreciated, how this entire local model movement is changing the way individual developers build products. Not enterprise teams. Individual developers. Solo builders. Because that's where I'm seeing the most interesting stuff happen.
Completely agree. And it's a real shift in how developers think about their stack. A year ago, if you were building something that needed AI, you'd reach for an API key. OpenAI, Anthropic, whatever. You'd pay per token, you'd build around rate limits, you'd worry about your data going somewhere. That was just the assumed path.
And now that assumption is breaking down. Because with Ollama and OpenClaw running locally, you can prototype at full speed, no API latency, no rate limits, no cost per call. You spin up a model, you test your idea in real time, and you iterate in minutes instead of waiting for API responses. The feedback loop is completely different.
The speed thing is underrated. I've talked to developers who said switching to local for prototyping cut their iteration time in half. Because when you're testing a prompt, or testing an agent behavior, you want to run it 50 times fast. With a cloud API, you're watching a progress bar and paying per test. Locally, you just run it.
And then there's the code privacy angle, which is actually a big deal for professional developers. If you're working on proprietary code, a startup's core product, a client's codebase, anything you can't share publicly, running that through a cloud coding assistant means sending your code to someone else's server. A lot of companies explicitly prohibit that. Local solves the problem entirely.
Right, and we're seeing enterprise policies catching up to this. Companies that have been blocking cloud AI tools for compliance reasons are now able to say run it locally and actually have that be a viable option. That's a huge unlock for professional developers who were previously just locked out.
So what does the actual workflow look like for a developer using this today? Walk me through it.
So the pattern I keep seeing is, you've got a small general-purpose model, something like a 7B or 14B, running constantly as your background assistant. It handles your day-to-day questions, your quick code reviews, your documentation. It's always on, instant responses, zero cost. That's your baseline.
And then you have heavier models on demand.
Exactly. When you hit a harder problem, complex debugging, architecture decisions, something that needs real reasoning, you pull up a 32B or 70B model for that specific task. You're not running it all the time, but it's there when you need it. And the model selection has gotten good enough that you can match the right model to the right task. Coding specialized models for code. Reasoning models for analysis. General models for everything else.
The specialization piece is really important. Because a coding specialized model trained on programming tasks will often outperform a larger general model on code-specific work. It's not just about size anymore, it's about fit.
That's the sophistication that's developing in this ecosystem. People are building model routing logic into their agents. The agent looks at the task and decides which model to call. Heavy reasoning? DeepSeek R1. Quick code generation? QuenCoder. General question? You're always on 7B. It's like having a team of specialists instead of one generalist.
And all of this running on your laptop or your home machine. That's the remarkable part. 2 years ago, this was supercomputer territory. Now it's Tuesday.
2 years ago, people thought running a 7B model locally was impressive. Now we're talking about routing between multiple specialized 30B and 70B models on consumer hardware. The progress really has been extraordinary.
All right, let's end on a forward-looking note. Because I think it's worth taking a moment to talk about where all of this is heading. Not in some distant sci-fi future, what does the next 6 to 12 months actually look like?
I think the biggest near-term shift is multimodal becoming truly mainstream for local deployment. Right now we have models that can handle text really well, and some that can do images. But the combination, text, image, audio, video, all in one locally running model, at quality that's actually useful, that's coming within the year. And that opens up whole new categories of applications.
Voice native agents is the one I keep thinking about. Right now most people interact with these models through text. But voice is so much more natural for a lot of use cases. You're driving, you're cooking, you're working out, you want to talk to your agent, not type. And we're getting very close to having local voice models that are actually good enough for that to feel natural.
The latency piece has been the barrier. You need responses fast enough that the conversation feels real. And local models are getting there. Once that clicks, once you can have a genuinely fluid spoken conversation with a locally running model, the use cases multiply enormously.
And then there's edge deployment. Phones, cameras, sensors, robots. The model compression work that's happening right now is going to make it possible to run surprisingly capable models on very constrained hardware. Your security camera doing real-time analysis locally. Your phone running a personal assistant that never phones home. Your home automation system that actually understands context.
The convergence of local models with physical hardware is going to be fascinating. We're going to start seeing AI capabilities embedded in devices in ways that would have seemed impossible just a couple of years ago. And because it's local, the privacy story is completely different from what we have with cloud-based smart devices.
The next 12 months are going to move fast. That's really the bottom line. If you're not experimenting with this stuff now, you're going to find yourself playing catch-up. The foundation being laid right now, the models, the tools, the community knowledge is going to support innovations that we genuinely can't fully predict yet.
Get your hands dirty. That's the advice. Download Olima, pull a model, connect it to OpenClaw. Build something small. Learn how it works. Because the people who understand this technology hands-on are going to have a massive advantage over the next few years.
Couldn't agree more. On that note, thanks for listening to OpenClaw Daily. One more use case I want to highlight because it doesn't get enough attention: education and research. Students and researchers who are using local models for literature review, for synthesizing papers, for brainstorming hypotheses. The privacy angle matters there too. Research data is often sensitive, preliminary findings aren't meant for public consumption, and running your analysis locally means your work stays yours.
And the cost-free iteration is huge in academic contexts. When you're on a graduate student budget, paying per API call adds up fast. Local models change that entirely. You can run 1,000 experiments without worrying about the bill. That's a game changer for independent researchers.
There's also the reproducibility angle. When you're citing how you analyzed something, if your analysis depends on a cloud API that changes its model without notice, your results might not reproduce. A local model pinned to a specific version stays consistent. That matters for serious research.
Science is just catching up to what's possible here. I think we're going to see a wave of research outputs in the next year that were enabled by local AI, analysis that would have been too expensive or too privacy-sensitive to do with cloud APIs. The floodgates are opening.
You know what I want to revisit before we go? The cost picture. Because I think a lot of people still have sticker shock when they think about the hardware investment. They hear Mac Studio or high-end GPU and they tune out. But the math is actually really compelling if you run the numbers.
This is one of my favorite topics. Let's do it. So take a mid-range setup, something like a Mac Mini with 64GB unified memory. That's roughly $2,000 right now. You can run a 32B parameter model comfortably on that. That's a genuinely powerful model for most real-world tasks.
And compare that to using a cloud API. If you're running an agent that makes, say, a few hundred API calls a day, which isn't unusual for business automation, you're looking at meaningful monthly costs. Depending on the model, that could be anywhere from $50 to several hundred dollars a month.
So at the lower end, you're breaking even on that hardware in under a year. At the higher end, in a few months. And after that, it's essentially free. No recurring costs, no rate limits, no paying for every token. Just electricity.
And electricity for running inference on modern Apple silicon is surprisingly low. These chips are incredibly efficient. You're not talking about a power-hungry GPU server. You're talking about something that draws less power than a gaming console.
The efficiency story on Apple silicon specifically is remarkable. The memory bandwidth advantage combined with low power consumption makes it genuinely different from a traditional GPU setup. You're getting performance that used to require racks of servers from something that fits on your desk and barely shows up on your power bill.
And for people who can't justify the hardware purchase or who just want to try before they buy, the free cloud tiers have gotten better too. You can use NVIDIA's NIM platform, you can use free tiers on various providers. You can even use Olama running on a friend's machine over a local network. The barrier to starting is basically zero.
The important thing is to start. Don't wait for the perfect hardware. Don't wait for the perfect model. The models that exist today are already powerful enough to build real things. And they're only going to get better.
Start with what you have. Iterate. Upgrade when the economics make sense. That's the approach that works.
Exactly. The people winning in this space aren't waiting for perfect conditions. They're building with what's available now, learning as they go, and upgrading their setup as their needs grow and their use cases prove out. That's the right mindset.
All right. Now we're really done. Thanks for joining us today on OpenClaw Daily.
That's all for today's episode of OpenClaw Daily. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Until next time, keep building.